of soul.
This is Bass Talk Live. Your host, Mark Jeffries and Matt Pangrack. BTL is brought to you by Lowrance, Lose, Strike King Lures, Bass Cat Boats, Duckett Fishing, Spro, AFCO, Sunline, and TH Marine. BTL coming at you. Good Monday, everybody. Welcome once again to another edition of BTL Bass Talk Live, where we're going to talk bass fishing and anything else that we want to talk about. Matthew, how you doing? How was your weekend?
I'm somewhat depressed, Mark.
You should never be depressed, dude.
Let me explain. You have nothing
to be depressed about.
Let me explain what happened to me this weekend, and I'm interested if anyone else has experienced this. I'm sure you have back in the day. So it's, quote, winter. We've had a very mild winter, have we not?
Oh, snow's coming on Wednesday, though.
I know, they say that. Yeah. You can talk about 20 minutes about the weather later, but I'll get my weather talk in to appease you.
All right. Right.
Most beautiful weekend of the winter slash early spring. It's like
Missy's
short sleeves and stuff. It's when you like look down, you're like, I am really pale right now. So I'm like, man, gotta hit the lake, right? I mean, there's no option to it.
Absolutely.
And you know, you get jacked up. I called my buddy Juice. I said, hey, let's go check out these two new lakes. I've heard good things about them.
Time out. Crappie fishing or bass fishing?
A little bit of both. Primarily crappie fishing.
Okay.
Anyway, gorgeous day. 8 hours later, I have one carp and one white bass in the boat, and that's all I caught. So then I scrolled through social media that night on Saturday night. Guys, hold it up, 3 pounds crappie. You got Chad Ward catching like 45 pounds of bass across Oklahoma. Everyone's like just slaying them, and here I am, gorgeous weather, and I didn't catch crap. I was like, I should have just taken the sure bet and gone and done what I knew instead. But I guess you nothing ventured, nothing gained is the cliche statement there. You had to check out some new. I had a great time, but man, I didn't catch anything. A carp and a white
bass. Can you say where you went?
Yeah, I went to two little lakes called Liberty Lake and Guthrie Lake that are over by Edmond.
I know them quite well.
Yeah.
There was a guy by the name of Joe Coffey that used to fish those lakes all the time and actually showed me. He had a little trick on brush piles.
On which lake?
On both of them.
Really?
Yeah. And this wouldn't apply really today, I don't think, but it might.
What was his trick?
But what he would do is he was really into the little bitty worms, 4-inch worms back then.
Like shaky head?
Dude, no. This is like 35 years ago.
Okay. So like on a little darter head or
little darter head. Okay. And he kept saying the smaller it is, the better that it goes through all the brush. Because so many times you hear people, oh, you know, it's got to be a 7-inch or a 10-inch worm. Dude, this guy would smash him on a little 4-inch ribbon tail worm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not try that.
And it was any time of the year. It wasn't just a summertime thing. And dude, he would smash them on Liberty Lake.
It's a cool little lake.
Yeah.
You got to get it. Literally, you have to go down dirt roads. I went to a concert. I went to a Granger Smith concert on Saturday night.
Really?
Every song he has is about dirt roads, which was ironic because earlier that day, you have to go down dirt roads to get to these two lakes.
That's pretty funny.
And I'm like, I am.
Were they muddy?
No, they were clean. But it was, I've been in Oklahoma since 2005. Yeah. I felt like a legit Okie. Like I was bass fishing down dirt roads and then going to a country concert at Kane's Ballroom that night.
That's good
listening
stuff.
To a guy sing about dirt roads.
Did
and then watching
football.
Did you
spend the night
football.
Down here?
No.
You drove back afterwards?
Yeah.
Right. Diamond Ballroom?
No, Kane's.
Oh, okay. All right. I got him confused.
So what did you do?
Oh, dude, I massive chores. It was perfect weather. Did a lot of work around the house.
Very nice.
Yeah. Got a bunch of stuff done. Anyway, great show today. We're going to have Ryan Salzman on, the FLW Pro Circuit angler. And then tomorrow, a very, very big show. Mr. Bruce Aiken, the CEO of Bass, is going to join us. and hopefully answer some questions that we have. I've already received some emails from fans that want us to ask certain questions, so we will see what Bruce has to say tomorrow. He's going to be on live via Skype, already tested it out. He's good to go. And then on Wednesday, my favorite show, the Sunline Hotline Show, the first one of the year, is going to take place. And on Wednesday, we're going to make the announcement. The unit's still sitting right here underneath the studio desk. Who is going to win the Lawrence Live HDS 12?
Now, can people still comment to get in on it? So here's the deal. Jeffries has an HDS Live 12 from Lawrence. Go into the iTunes, the podcast feature, Bass Talk Live, rate and leave a comment. We're already up to like 1,450,000.
It's pretty insane.
But out of all those people who are in the comments, Jeffries is going to randomly select one of those people. And then if you're listening and your screen name is called, then you send him
then
an email.
Then you have 24 hours.
Verify. So we might have to draw once or twice because we've got Cobbett's going all the way back since he started putting stuff out there. But great giveaway. So we also have, we got a slam-packed first segment here because there's like a billion things that went on. You know, we had only had a show Monday, Tuesday. We've got sponsorship.
You didn't
deals,
even ask about how my stuff went on Wednesday.
Wins, everything.
Are you not concerned about my health?
Oh, you had a heart. Yeah, you went to the doctor. I assume it's
that's
okay.
Right,
you look healthy.
No, it's great.
They
dude,
hooked you
I've
up.
Lost, oh yeah, I've lost 16 pounds since I was admitted to the hospital. I'm in rhythm. The rehab is going well. I actually lasted longer than they thought I could last on the treadmill and on the bike. You ever done the hand bike? That's what I call it. I don't know
that's
what the technical
term.
That's
the one you just
keep
warm on?
No. You do this.
Oh, no. That's for the old people, Mark.
You should have seen the people that were in there, dude. I'm not kidding. I felt like, man, am I that old? I don't think I'm that old. Am I that old, Matthew? I mean, I know I'm old,
no,
but
you
dude,
were.
I was amongst with no disrespect. There were 1,000 blue hairs in there.
Yeah.
Well, not really 1,000, but no, there was a lot of elderly senior citizens in there. Anyway,
let me just
so
ask,
everything went
let
well.
Me ask one question.
Yeah.
What place, and I'm going somewhere with this, what place did your bowling friend finish in the Fire Lake Grand?
Seventh place? Yeah.
All right, folks, we have weather, we have health, and now we have bowling in the first 5 minutes of the segment. We've cleared
and
the board.
I still have a stack of stuff right here.
All right, go for it. Where do we want to start on this?
As you mentioned, we only had two shows last week. A lot of stuff went down. Big announcement from Major League Fishing last week. Basscat has renewed. You know, they are one of the longest tenured sponsors with Major League Fishing. I think this year is the ninth year, I believe.
I know that they kind of split up. There's two or three boat companies for a while, you know, when they do the cups, and back before when it was just the Major League Fishing and the cups, they would split up the identical boats. You know, half the guys would be using Basscat, the other half would use the other brands. But so.
And then the other big news was Toyota is now part of the sponsor lineup for Major League Fishing, and it is now going to be referred to as the Toyota Series, Matthew.
Yes, so that's the former what? Let's see. Can we do this? It was the FLW Series before it was the Toyota Series for a couple weeks before they had a title sponsor. Yeah. Then it was the Costa Series for a couple years before that. It has also been what? The Stren Series. And the Everstart Series?
That is correct.
What else? Has it been anything else?
I think that's it.
Anyway, so this I thought it was awesome. So we had Jot Acosta in, right?
Yeah.
Like, way out of his league talking to bass fishing people because he's like a prophetic smooth, right? Super smooth, right?
Yeah.
So this is what he had to say. This is on the FLW website, and John Acosta said, I'm excited to welcome Toyota into the MLF family. Through this comprehensive multi-year deal, Toyota continues its rich history of supporting the outdoors, now leveraging MLF's highly rated media platforms and angler-centric tournament trails to further position Toyota as a catalyst for growth in the sport of competitive bass fishing.
That's solid.
Smooth, right?
Very smooth.
Yeah, so.
Very smooth.
That's what they had to say about that deal. So.
You know, I think there was a lot of people that saw this coming, obviously, with the number of Toyota anglers that were on the Major League Fishing roster. It just made sense. And I had no idea before this what the capacity was going to be, but now obviously we know multi-year. And the people in Tulsa, and I'm not referring to Major League Fishing, but the company Dynamic Sponsorship is going to be heavily involved with both organizations now. So we'll see how that kind of works out. You know, Alan McGuckin and all of the crew at Dynamic, they've been heavily involved with this game for a long, long time. And now they are dipping their toes in both pools. So we'll see how that works out. I think it's good for the game. I'm still waiting, Matthew, though. Still waiting. You know, I remember sitting right here looking at John across the way. I'm still waiting for that big name. And I think everybody else is, too.
Oh, Toyota's a big name.
Dude.
But they're
don't go there. No. They're already involved in the game.
No, I agree.
And have been involved
in
the game.
It makes sense for them to be involved as many aspects as they can.
That's what I just said.
Brand recognition.
But
okay.
I am waiting for the Gatorade, for the Coca-Cola, for the Lowe's, for whoever. All right, that big name player that's going to come in and hopefully add more money into the game to where it's not a continuous cycle of, you know, endemic sponsors.
I wouldn't know. I think Squinchers has that market cornered on the energy drinks in Major League Fishing, Mark.
I mean, we've seen them come and go. We've seen some big names. Yeah. Have no idea what the terms of the deals were, but we have seen some companies come and go.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of that is ad agencies saying, hey, we're gonna throw some money out there. All right, 2 years is enough. Boom, I'm done. Let's move on.
We'll talk about this. So I got sucked into the Lynn Dollar YouTube channel wormhole.
Oh, yeah.
Over this weekend late at night, and I found myself watching, because we had talked about it on the show, and I was trying to figure out the 05-06 Classic. Remember, we couldn't remember, and Bradley was like, I think that was the Takahiro, and it didn't sound right to me. Yeah. The 05 Classic was a Pittsburgh Classic, and then they had the Van Damme Classic, and then they had the 06 Classic in the spring, so we had skipped like the most popular Classic of all. So 04 was Taco, 05 was Pittsburgh. So I was watching this Pittsburgh Classic.
Okay.
The 42-minute recap that was on Bassmaster where they had
it. 14 pounds to win?
At 15-something. But it was crazy because, dude, look back at it. It was Van Damme in the hunt, Reese, Gerald Swindle, Aaron Martins, Jeff Reynolds was in there too. But just like Matt and Kevin Van Damme, massive names. But they do the voice, you know, the Bassmaster Classic is brought to you by, and when it goes to commercial, they do brought to you by blah, 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 and Cialis.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember
that. It was just funny how the announcer said it. He paused. He goes, and Cialis.
two things I remember about that classic real quick. A-Mart and the crash and burn.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? I mean, that
was
epic.
Yeah.
I mean, big time right there by the bridge piling and all that and everything. And then the second thing, and this is kind of a personal memory, is that walk from the arena down to where the Three Rivers launch was and seeing all the people in a major metropolitan area that were fascinated by what was taking place in their city.
Yeah, I didn't go to that one.
Yeah.
So the other thing that stuck out during the competition that they had in there was Brad Wall. He used to fish FLW Tour. I've mentioned this, had a Hooters sponsorship. Like every time he was on the FLW stage, he had Hooters girls from the local Hooters that would like come and like cheer for him while he was on stage. He had a Hooters wrap boat. And I totally forgot about this, but while Aaron was fishing those bridge pilots, he kept talking about the Hooters girls, and there's Brad Wall in the boat with like four Hooters girls in the boat cheering him on. They got so much free publicity out of that, and it was on ESPN2. And then Jerry McGinnis was talking about it. He's like, hey, you know, we had 14 live hours of coverage on ESPN2, and this was the recap show. So that was back when they were really pumping it, the live 14 hours of live coverage on ESPN2 for that 2005 Classic.
That was big time.
So you talk about like growing and expanding and stuff. I mean, like those were big names involved on the biggest channel at the time with 14 hours of live coverage, getting pharmaceutical companies with the biggest names in the sport. And I think that those years kind of right there.
We talked about that.
I know, but it's crazy. Heyday. Those guys that were the superstars then are still the big names here. I mean, they've had the market for 15, 20 years.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Anyway,
you're
right. We got more. I didn't mean to get off on that.
I know. Real quick, there is a possibility that the man in the fur coat quite possibly might be returning to the Bassmaster Classic.
Oh, this warmed my heart. Mark, there aren't too many guys that I would consider, but I do not know Matthew Robertson out of Kentucky. He is the man who Steve Austin, the water bottles, after qualifying through the Bass Nation Championship, wore the fur coat to last year's Classic, and we're like, this guy's pretty smart. No, that's just Matthew Robertson, man. That's how he is.
That's how he rolls.
If you don't know who it is, it's the On 'em guy. He's the dude with the hats that say On 'em, and then he marketed them. He's got one that says Off 'em too. Anyway, this guy says he's going to catch him, and then he goes out and catches him, like all over. He like wins almost everything.
Really?
So he went to the Eastern Regional, which the way it works, you qualify for your state. This is Bassmaster Eastern Regional. They have a Western. There's five divisions. Divisionals.
Okay.
And there's like, or maybe three, or maybe there's three now. I don't know. Anyway, you go to your divisional, you finish top of your divisional. That's how you get to the nation championship. This is what Polinick won.
All right.
So you have to go through these stages. So this was the regional. So you had the top 10 guys from each state in the Eastern Regional. It was on Okeechobee in Florida. Robertson blew it away. Won the dang thing, going back to the Bass Nation Championship. Fishing the Opens this year, going back to the Bass Nation Championship, along with, these are some names if you're a diehard fan, you'll remember, Dave Cavell from Louisiana, dude's like a Louisiana Bass Nation legend, Mark Pierce, who's already fished the Classic in 2013 on Grand, and Jeff Luger, who's been in two Classics too. So Virginia, Tennessee, I think Mark Pierce is also from Kentucky, but he qualified through Tennessee, but I mean, those guys are all headed to the Bass Nation Championship in October, November on Pickwick. Like, my regional's coming up in May. So whoever qualifies from that's going to have to fish against Matt Robertson, Dave Cavell, Mark Pierce, Jeff Luger. I'm sure I'm leaving a couple other guys out, but some legends in the nation got the job done. And
very
then along
nice.
Those lines, another familiar name, they had the Toyota Series on Toledo Bend.
Yeah.
Dude, you don't want to say it, but there are some Jordan Lee-like tendencies in Mr. Cody Huff. Bethel, one of the, one of the premier collegiate teams in the country, pumping out, you know, they had John Garrett who went to the Classic before, but Cody Huff wins the Classic bracket last year to get to the Gunnersville Classic this year. Then, this past weekend, goes out and drills them on a spoon on Toledo Bend, wins by like 6 pounds, wins the Toyota Series, and now has the Classic coming up next month on Gunnersville.
Very nice.
So, big league for him, and he's fishing the Opens too, so.
Very nice. When's your first event there, Matthew?
Dude, February 22nd, but the first Open is the middle of April on Louisville.
What's on the 22nd? The Nation?
No, 10 Killer, the ABA. And then March is the Bass Nation on Texoma.
By the way, for our West Coast folks, the Arizona Open, it's full.
Yeah.
Totally booked.
Yep. Bunch of guys going out and fishing that thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had an interesting conversation with Travis Moran. We've had him on the show, the co-host of FLW Live and stuff. And we talked a lot about those UFO habitats that they have out there on Havasu. Have you ever seen those in person? I never have.
No.
He said they're like the size of an apartment. And they just have all sorts of weird angles and brush stuff and metal and plaid. He said they look like a UFO. And he said you can just get over and look down on them. That's what a lot of guys catch them off.
Really?
Of. Yeah.
All right. Did you watch the Super Bowl?
I did.
Thoughts?
Patrick Choke Mahomes job? Is pretty good in the fourth
choke
quarter.
Choke job by San Francisco?
No.
You give up 21 in the fourth quarter and it's not a choke job?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not an analyst, but Mahomes kind of turned it on there. I mean, there are a couple of those.
Dude, you're up 21-10 in the fourth.
20-10, but.
Well, yeah. But they scored 21 in the fourth.
Yeah. I was watching it with a friend who had multiple prop bets on the line.
Really?
Like, he was betting on whether there would be a Kobe Bryant mention, the coin flip, all sorts of that stuff. He was looking pretty good when it was 20-10, did not end up well.
Yeah. Did you like the commercials?
I thought the Google commercial that was really good? Where it was that elderly guy who was like keeping track of his wife through the years, through the notes. I thought that one was good.
My favorite one was the Bill Murray Groundhog Day, because it was Groundhog Day with the Jeep.
Yeah.
He's looking old, man.
Well, he is. He's been around for forever.
And he's awesome. Always, always going to be a Bill Murray fan. And then the new James Bond movie. Are you a James Bond fan?
No, I've never seen a James Bond
You're
movie.
You're kidding me.
Never seen a James Bond movie.
Dude.
I mean, I know what he's all about and stuff.
007
and like the high-tech spy stuff.
Wow. Yeah. I'm a big James Bond fan.
We are all just the way a back. Couple.
Sean Connery days, man. That's way back.
Who's it, the Daniel dude now?
I
they yeah. changed the James Bonds.
Yeah.
We got one Roger more day, Moore and we're like in Elite Series action, too, by the way.
Yeah.
They started yesterday, I believe. Practice.
Did they?
Yeah.
yeah,
and
they
then
did.
They're practicing out there today on the St. John's River. Okay. I think it's going to be good. I will have the BTL fantasy fishing page up and running within an hour after the show. Just go into the Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing and join it. And we'll give away some stuff at the end of the year. Some AFCO stuff, some Big Bite stuff, some Sunline stuff.
All right. Let's do it. Sounds good. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back with Ryan Salzman. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The ultimate fishing system starts with Lowrance HDS Live. Upgrade to HDS Live with a Ghost Trolling Motor, LiveSight Transducer, or Structure Scan 3D and get up to $500 cash back.
Yeah, you care about gear ratios, inches per turn, and ball bearings, but most importantly, you want reliability and dependability in the equipment you use. Luz doesn't cut corners when it comes to the gear they build. The new Speed Spool LFS is the best $99 reel in the market. Go see for yourself.
We've paired one of the most iconic hulls in the history of bass boats with a proven lineup of trusted accessories. We're bringing you best-in-class value and performance, leaving others in your wake. Turnkey value, turnkey performance. The Pantera 2 is an overachiever in the 19-foot category. Once you hit the throttle, you'll feel the rush, and there's no looking back.
Kevin, what are you doing here?
Oh, I'm just filling in for Billy.
I need 660 shad crankbaits in the Series 5 model.
We're out.
You're not out. You got all kinds of them right there.
We're out.
Kevin, I need six.
Have a lollipop.
I do not want a lollipop.
Have a lollipop.
Do you have it in sexy shad color?
At Duckett Fishing, we have assembled the top pros in the country to help us design rods to give you a competitive advantage.
Castability, strength, durability, action, sensitivity, weight and balance, and consistency.
Combine that with the best warranty in the industry, and you have rods that are pro-driven.
Duckett Fishing, pro-driven.
I want to share to you a new product we got coming out from Sunline. This is the FC leader size spools that we have now. We've gotten a lot of requests for this. A lot of you guys use fluorocarbon for leaders only, myself included. And one of the problems you have is when you have a 200-yard spool, that might last you 2, 3, 4 years. You might even lose it before you even get done with the spool. So we've gone to a little smaller spool. These are 50-yard spool sizes. You know, that way you're not holding your line on forever. You can keep your line fresh, use it when you can, stores real easily in the boat. We got all of our popular line sizes that you're used to with our Sniper from 5 to 14 pound. If you guys are looking for a line that you're only tying for a leader, go check out Sunline FC Leader 100% fluorocarbon and give it a try.
Blue Water by TH Marine. Offering LED lighting solutions for your boat, trailer, truck, ATV, and so much more. Engineered and built to be rugged with waterproof and submersible options. Designed for easy installation, Blue Water is available in a variety of colors and styles. All backed by a limited lifetime warranty. Blue Water by TH Marine.
The name SPRO says it all. SPRO stands for Sports Professionals. When you look at the pro staff that SPRO has brought on board over the past 15 years, it's been pretty incredible. I mean, one got it just then. From the development of the Rock Crawler to the McStick, from the Fat Papa to the Little John series, when you tie a SPRO bait on, you know it's been designed by a professional to get the job done.
Meet AFCO's ICAST award-winning Hydronaut waterproof system. Hydronaut features a 20K 100% waterproof shell, double dry cuffs to keep water out, speed vent hood engineered to prevent neck strain at high rates of speed. AFCO exclusive Cyclops tactical camera mount. Comfort Flex shoulder straps for all-day comfort. Outerwear that you can count on. The Hydronaut waterproof system by AFCO. Any fish, any water.
All of us on the Pro Tournament Trail use Gamigatsu hooks.
Why?
Because they are absolutely the best.
It's not about how many bites you get.
It's how many you put in the boat.
Gamigatsu makes hooks for every fishing style.
We didn't come this far to lose fish.
Did you?
For more information, visit gamigatsu.com.
The Big Bite Baits Kamikaze Swim On is a very unique bait, and it's got a full body but with ribs to give it a bigger profile but not more plastic. It's got a jointed tail that gives it a lot of action, as well as this up and down crawl type trail with holes and ribs in it, so it creates a bubble trail almost. This bait is supposed to be fished upside down or vertical like this on a great for a chatterbait. I prefer it on a swim jig as well. But you can also cut it down and put it on the back of a finesse jig. You know, flip it around for some spotted bass or flipping docks. Anytime you want a small, compact, you know, little trailer for it, this is great for it. So check out the full lineup of swim-ons at BigBiteBaits.com.
All right, we are back kicking off the week here on a Monday. And we are ready to go to our special guest. And a guy that does it all, Matthew.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. It'd be great. I've known him for over 8 years now.
Wow.
And it was just kind of getting into fishing, doing some BFL local stuff when I first met him. He was one of those dudes that I often talk about on the World Series of Bass, that the ill-fated World Series of Bass, if you watch anything. But he was one of the eight guys that was selected. And then it seems weird with just group of guys has always kind of kept in contact. But a lot of us have gone on to be in the industry. And then we're kind of talking about a new year and how everyone fits in and everything. And I was talking to Ryan, and Ryan, I was like, dude, this guy literally has his hand in every aspect of professional fishing and the business side and the guiding side. And we'll let him talk a little bit more about it. But
all right, let's bring him in. Ryan, you there, man?
Yeah, man. How's it going, Mark?
All right. Going well here on a Monday. I know you're a very, very busy person, but we appreciate you taking time out. Dude, you just got your hands in everything.
Yeah, well, never intentionally kind of started that way. I've wanted to fish for as long as I can remember, and the light bulb kind of went off for me in college when I was doing the college fishing thing, and I got my first bass boat and was asked to be a guide on a corporate trip. And as a college kid, I didn't have very much money, and I made $400 that morning, and I said, I can get paid to fish, and I have to worry about competing, you know. And the whole question for me the whole time, you know, was what do I do to get into professional fishing, or how do I make money and become good enough to make that transition? And that was kind of like my light bulb for the guiding. But it was also a balance for me because I was also in the military. I was in the Alabama Army National Guard. I got in 2008, got a scholarship in the ROTC program there, and commissioned in 2011. So soon after graduating college, I had a lot of momentum. And I was actually working with the inventor of the Alabama rig, Andy Poss. I was a wire bender at his house. And it's kind of funny. That's kind of how it all led into the swim baits for me, is I got taught how to throw swim baits by the man himself. And I only had two fishing trips with this guy, and that's all it took. He left a lasting impression. And, yeah, so that's kind of how I got my start into guiding and swim baits. Had a one-year deployment in 2013, and I came back as Alabama Bass Guide. And the biggest thing I did while I was in deployment was research SEO. For everyone listening, if you haven't heard of that, it's search engine optimization, which I wanted to be able to get found as a guide when I came home. And I was booked full time coming home from deployment, which was a huge blessing. And first BFL I hopped into after deployment, I got third place using the Alabama rig, and I had two twin 715s. And I only had four fish.
Wow.
Yeah, he had I'm looking at it right now, 22, 14, and four fish. So you, Andy Poss invents that Alabama rig. Most of us hear about it the first time. I'm doing this off the top of my head. Fall of 2011, yep. FLW yep. series event, Paul Elias. So when did you first, were you on that train way before all of us were? I mean, if you knew him
Absolutely.
And stuff. Okay, let's hear about that. When did you start it?
It's really cool how it all happened. So I was a college fisherman. I was a dam rat. I didn't have graphs. I just went and fished the dam, which is how I got really good at it. And we just learned how to run up to that dam without electronics. And I would see Andy up there, and there was a rumor that he had some new bait. And we were like, oh, whatever, that's baloney. I mean, what new bait could you come out with that's that good? Well, he was literally winning every tournament. And I saw him one day looking what I had thought was coat hangers off the end of his rod, which ended up being the Alabama rig. And when I graduated, I met him at a tournament, and that was when it was growing and he had released it. And long story short, I started working for him in that lull period between my time of graduation and going off to my officer basic training in Fort Huachuca, Arizona.
So what year would that have been then? 2011. Before
2011.
So how long did you throw it before everyone was throwing it? So you got almost six, seven months of it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. And I was so excited to transition into professional fishing with it because, that tournament Paul Elias won, I think it was an open event, right?
Yeah, it was a series. Remember they had the tour and then they had the series, I think?
Right. So they really didn't have a stopgap on information for those events.
Right.
So it was, I'll just tell it how it is. We hand delivered the Alabama rig to Paul Elias. So it was pretty cool. And he got two of them from Andy Poss himself. And I think they go back way back in the day. And he was throwing Shadowlicious on it at that point, all 5.5s. I mean, it was a big profile Alabama rig. Yeah, not a lot of people know that. He advertised it as man's, and I think we're so far removed from it, it'll be all right if we let the cat out of the bag. He was throwing a lot of Shadowlicious. Wow. This is pre True Bass and pre Bass Tricks, I think. It was great, man. I'll never forget fishing with Andy. He's a great guy.
What a great story.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of info that people don't know.
So then you end up, so you are a owner, and I don't know exactly how this works, but when did you start your own company? Because you got True Bass, you got all the True Bass apparel and the wrap, and you always throw in the swim baits and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So then did that just kind of merge out of kind of your relationship with other guys who had been in the industry?
No. So the True Bass thing, I'll bring kind of David Allen fishing. I don't know if you guys ever heard of him. David Allen is another guide on Pickwick. He was my tournament partner in college. And we got on that front end swim bait bite, kind of merged from California to the Tennessee River. And we started throwing those big swim baits on the Tennessee River. So, and this was in that same time frame before I went for deployment. We had found the Hippo. Do you remember the Hippo, Matt, at all?
I do not.
So, I do not either.
I actually have one in the other room. I may go grab it. I have the original one, and we were catching, it's a 7.5 Hippo, and we wrecked them. I mean, you could throw whatever 4 and 5 inch, but if you threw that 7.5 inch bait in a school on the Pickwick, you were getting wrecked, and by big ones. And so I left and came back, and that company went out of business. And when there's a gap or a bait goes away, someone else steps in and fills it, right?
Right.
So I wanted that bait so bad, I reached out to all the manufacturers and found someone to make it. And when I found someone to make it, I just wanted them for myself and David at this point. They informed me that I had to buy 500 of each color. And I'm like broke. I mean, I just paid off my student debt for my deployment. I'm like that starting at zero debt, right? I'm like, where you want to be coming out of college? And I took the risk and I said, well, if I'm going to do that, I might as well sell them and try my hand at it. But and I was a business marketing major. I know you need more than one product. So I designed a 4.5 inch swim bait, which then became our little head 4.5. So I started out with 7.5 and 4.5. And I was hand packaging everything and just getting a bulk ship to my house. I took out a $20,000 personal loan to jumpstart this business. And as soon as I got the swim baits in, they were in Perkins Outdoors, and I was sold out within 3 weeks because the smallmouth were biting and it was what they wanted. I was just a blessing from God with the 4.5. That's all I can say. It was a one hit home run, never had to change a thing with it. And I branched off from there and made different sizes. And yeah, it's kind of just taken off, and sales have doubled every year. And it's really been stopped by my ability to purchase inventory. So I was really just capped out at sales because I couldn't purchase any inventory, because there's a catch 22 you'll find when you start a small business is if you don't have any credit, you can't get a loan, right? But you, if you have a successful product, you need a loan. So you're kind of stuck unless you get a shark who wants 50% of your company, which I was not willing to do. So long story short, 5 years in the future, I qualify for the FLW Cup at the Coastal Championship. I'm getting burnt out by pro fishing and running True Bass full time. I'm literally lighting candle at both ends. And I'm looking to just sell it all outright and just kind of take what I can, put all my money into pro fishing, because that was the end goal for me. But what I had gotten was an even better deal. It was an opportunity to get what I needed for that year, which is I had my entries covered by my partner now, Clay Cornegy, and I still own a part of the company. So now I get, he loves the operation side and he loves meeting with tackle stores and going out selling. But I like doing the marketing and advertising and the product development. So that's kind of where we are now with it.
Nice. Now,
very cool.
What, do you have 5 SKUs on Tackle Warehouse now?
I think more than that. Oh, just individual baits.
Yeah, with all the different sizes, and then you have a jig head and stuff. So.
Right, and we just launched an underspin, which I've had for a few years, and I've held back mainly because I couldn't buy enough. Like, I couldn't even have money to buy, you know, the jig heads to keep them in stock. But they work really well. It's helped me with a few BFL wins, so that underspin on a True Bass 5.5.
Very nice.
That's crazy. So you also, we've covered a little bit of the business side of it too, but I mean, you're an Alabama bass guide, and you still just do like regular guide trips with clients throughout the year as well?
Absolutely. And that, honestly, that is one of my most fun, favorite things to do, is just to be a guide and take people out and coach and teach them how to fish. And it's fun to see, you know, someone who's been struggling on their home lake and they go out with you and a light bulb goes off and they want to learn how to throw swim baits, and you just show them the basic fundamentals with it. And I think the big key on any lake is covering enough water. And that's something a lot of like hometown guides don't do a lot of. But yeah, so when I'm not touring, I'm home guiding full time.
Mostly serious guys or?
Well, yeah, that's my question is, I want to know, do you take out the beginner? Do you take out the guy or girl that's just getting into this game? And what's that like?
So I honestly, and this, my clients watching are going to laugh. I like taking beginners more than seasoned vets, mainly because, and you'll hear every coach say this, and Mark, you're in bowling, they don't have bad habits. So I can mold them from the beginning. And if you go with me on a swim bait trip and you've never caught a swim bait fish or you've hardly fished, you're probably going to wreck them because you're going to do everything I tell you to.
Yeah.
What's the word? Okay, we're talking like, okay, hollow-bodied swim baits, that kind of paddle tail style. What are the worst bad habits that the average guy who's fished them for the last, 10 years since they've kind of blowed up? The first time I remember is remember Jay Yellis like smoked him 1 year on the tour on that thing at Beaver Lake, and that's when everyone's like, oh, this is kind of a cool bait. Anyway, so what are the bad habits of that style of bait that we all have?
Okay, I'll try to do 3, but the one off the top of my head is imparting too much action in your swim bait. You do not want to overwork. Think of it like a Senko. Once you match the right gear ratio and line size, all you want to do is become a robot and steadily wind that bait. And if you get a bite, do not swing. What you want to do is do a quick reel. And if your line stays tight, you keep reeling and pull to the side. And then what's cool about that hook set technique is when you reel, if he bites it and you go boom, and it doesn't stay pegged, he just nipped it. And then it looks like that shad tried to get away. And then you go back to reeling and he usually comes up and eats it. So with an Alabama rig, I'm sure you guys have thrown, you know, where you guys are located, you'll get 3 and 4 bites with an A-rig a lot of times, right? They're just nipping at it. Mm. Same thing with a single swim bait. But you can really capitalize on that by not woofing. So that would be number two is hook set, right? So you want to be a robot when you're reeling it, and you want to do a reel set. And that's probably the two. And letting it go to the bottom. A lot of guys let it go all the way to the bottom. And I find that a lot of times, especially early spring, you want to start reeling when that bait hits the water and match your jig head to how deep you want your swim bait to go during the depth. So imagine just like a crankbait, how deep you want it to go, right? If you're reeling a DT-10, it's going to go to 10 feet, you know, for most of your cast. If I want to go to 10 foot most of my cast, I'm going to throw a half ounce on a 4.5 on 15-pound fluorocarbon. If I want to go to 12 plus, I'm going to go to a 3/4. If I'm going to go to 20 plus, I'm going to go to ounce. So if I hit the water and I start reeling, it's going to dive, right? But it'll get there within 10 seconds usually, and then it'll kind of hover there because all the physics, you know, the tension on your rod, it's just going to kind of hover in that zone.
That's cool stuff.
If you had to do it all over again, you're going into your third year, I believe, fishing on the Tackle Warehouse Pro Circuit. Would you recommend that there you go, got the Tackle Warehouse shirt on. Would you recommend?
Hey man, I got my order in the other day and I said, I'll wear my Tackle Warehouse shirt because I'm on the Tackle Warehouse Pro Tour.
Yeah. It means he ordered more than $100. That's all that means.
Every time.
Would you recommend that someone who's dead serious into this and wants to get into it, would you recommend that they get into the guiding side of it or, you know, or start in tournaments and not do the guiding thing? I mean, it seems like everyone kind of has a different approach, but there's a lot of younger guys, like a Josh Bertrand comes to mind and stuff like that, guys who kind of spent a lot of time on the water guiding and then are seeing success early on in their careers in the tournament side.
I think guiding is a great recipe, but you also have to look at the demographic for your area and your lakes, and does it make sense for me to guide here? I'm like Gunnersville right now, I'm not going to say I'd recommend someone to go be a guide, mainly because it's really saturated. But if you're a marketing guru and you think you can compete with 40 guides now that are pretty successful in being booked up, you know, go that route. But the best piece of advice I can give to someone young wanting to get into this is to do a self-evaluation, write down all your strengths and weaknesses, and ask me, what am I good at? And find your own path, right? So you need to, everyone's path is different. And when I look at my faith and my fishing is go hand in hand. And I look back and I see how God has had his hand in my life and directed me through TruBass. I never knew when I started TruBass that was going to be my golden ticket to fish the FLW Tour. Without TruBass, I didn't have any money to fish it. So that, and I don't know what that golden ticket will be for, you know, the young people watching. Mm-hmm. However, I think you should do everything in your power to work towards that goal. And if that's starting a YouTube now, if that's blogging on Instagram with the new IGTV, the Instagram TV, which I think is a huge trend. And if you're not on the front end of that, you're probably going to miss out on a lot of exposure. And then obviously podcasts. I started a podcast. I'm a huge fan of you guys. I've watched you for years and I'm just trying to be like you guys and Ike. And I'm still finding my identity within my own podcast, trying different formulas, you know, what works for me. It started out as Guide Talk Live, which is fun when it's kind of like a party and guys drinking. But it's kind of turning the Guide Talk with this kind of one-on-one interviews with other guides in the lake, different professionals, talks before the FLW Tour. So that's kind of where I'm evolving into now with mine.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Well, I want to get to the instant feedback.
Okay, I want to talk about the guides. Do guides get along? Like, I mean, you're in an area where you've got Gunnersville and Pickwick and Wheeler. I mean, you've got tons of guys who are guides here. Like, how is that dynamic? Like, I mean, we got you got fights in the crappie world. You've got to have fights in the Alabama guide service world.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Gunnersville is the most vicious guide ring, I think, in the world, probably, right? Because, I mean, bass fishing is pretty centric to U.S., and Gunnersville is pretty famous for guiding. And I think there needs to be a Days of Our Lives guide edition on Gunnersville, and we probably all make a lot of money. I'm telling you, man. Like, so it's getting to a point where it's kind of leveled out. But when I was getting into it, I was kind of like the first young guy, then other young guys. And everyone's just so competitive and kind of cutthroat. If you cut your prices, someone gets mad. They invite you to help with a guide trip. I'm not going to name names. I got help to go with a guide trip one time. Oh, well, your rate's $300. So guess what? You're only getting paid $300. The rest of us are getting four, you know? So it's kind of stuff like that. It's just crazy, man. Like,
there's the YouTube series right there.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you.
That's the YouTube series. Get four or five guys and just film all the drama. Put that out on YouTube. You get all of it. You get the fans. You get to promote your guide service. You get the tournament anglers in it. You get the fish catches.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the Kardashians of North Central Alabama.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know something? Back in the early 90s and kind of maybe even before that, so many of the guys that made it to the national tour were guides. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was like the natural progression.
Look at the Hemphill gang.
Yeah, it was. They were all guides, and so many of those guides came from Texas and Alabama and Oklahoma. That was kind of the birthplace or the start of somebody that wanted to pursue a fishing career. And now it's changed so much that a guide going from being a guide to being on a prospective tour just hardly doesn't exist anymore.
Well, my whole theory on all of it is whether I was a guide or whatever, I'm going to let my success dictate my progression. And it was a clear sign to me. I mean, I prayed about it. I wanted it for years to fish on the pro level. And I would guide it for, I think, a 7 solid years before. But I was always top 10, top 5 in points in my BFLs, but never busted out. And like the last 3 years, I won a BFL every year and had like 2 seconds. And then I said, okay, I saved enough money from those wins because I'm also living off those winnings because I'm a full-time guide, making house payments, car payments. I had a family at the time. So it's crazy, man. And then when I said, all right, I won my third BFL, I'm going to the Coastas. And when I went up to the Coastas, I cashed a check in every event. And when I qualified for the FLW Cup at the championship, it was kind of my sign, and I did everything in my power to come up with the money. And here I am going in my second year now, and still learning a ton. I mean, at Rayburn, I had an awful finish. And I know Matt's big on stats. I look at my own stats, and I'm like, I'm either a bomb or I'm pretty competitive. Yeah. And I'm trying to eliminate those bombs. And the biggest lesson I learned on Rayburn is last time I was there, I was comfortable to run around because it was so flooded. This time I was very uncomfortable, and I think that is probably the reason for my lack of success there, because when you have a lot of rough water and you're uncomfortable running around on a lake, you feel stuck in an area and you don't have that mobility to move around.
You're now fishing a 2-year average to try to jump up to the BPT. I was talking to one of our friends that we both know is James Biggs, and after the first tournament he said, well, one down, 13 to go. It was a top 10 in the points after 2 years go on. Has that kind of changed your outlook on the tour and how you're going to approach this upcoming season, fishing, you know, more for an average? Or I mean you were, you know, they're fishing the FLW Tour. Now you got the opportunity to go to no entry fees in 13 tournaments from now.
It's an interesting question. It's one I literally set after my awful finish. And my goal, you know, you talk a big game going into the season, you're like, these are my goals. I want to be AOI 2020. I want to qualify for the BPT. And all that is great, but all we have is the present, you know. And also, a goal of mine is to fish the Bassmaster Classic, and I've always wanted to be on the Elite Series. So with all that being said, my style, I was made an offshore fisherman, and that's kind of how I made a lot of money. So by that style, when you're an offshore fisherman, you either find the mother load, right? Or you kind of struggle. And that's kind of the trend I've seen in myself. So I think I'm just going to kind of keep fishing my style. It's got me to where I am. I'm going to trust my process, and I'm going to try and make as much money as I can over the next 2 years and see where that lands me.
All right. All right, man, I want to go to the instant feedback, a number of questions. Real quick, Austin in Alabama wants to know, what is the guide catch versus client catch ratio on one of your guide trips?
It really depends on the day. It depends on the skill level of fishermen versus the day, how well they're biting. And, I'm going to say I have days where I get smoked, and I'm like a pro, right? And I'm like, I'm trying to catch them. I'm going to act like I'm not trying to catch them, but I'm trying to catch them, and these guys are whacking me. What happens, I've kind of developed it over the years, and I refine it. I try to get on a pattern that morning, catch a few fish, and then I try to get the clients to catch the fish, right? And I try to coach them through the process of the techniques. And there's some days, if they're not getting it, I got to pick up a rod and start catching a few to then give them some more confidence. Okay, this is working. It's not the technique. It's just, I just need to do it right. So, I mean, there's been days my clients have only caught a few, and there's been days they whacked me. But in the summertime, we're going to catch a ton of fish. In the springtime, it's going to be a grind. In the fall, it's going to be a lot of fun, whether we catch them or not, because we're going to be frog fishing on Gunnersville, and they're going to see the fish that they catch or don't catch.
All right, very cool. Dave wants to know, can you talk about the multi-wire spinnerbait lure that you discussed on your YouTube channel?
I sure can. It is designed by Brent Anderson, originally called the Frankenspin. I think there might still be listed on tacklefreaks.com. It was then rebranded as Elvis, because Frankenspin was kind of hard to say, I guess, but I still call it Frankenspin. Brent signed a licensing agreement with True Bass this past winter, and True Bass is now going to be producing the Frankenspin, which is basically an X-wing spinnerbait, 1.25 ounce head with a big arm that comes off. So it looks like a micro Alabama rig spinnerbait. And we usually put a grub in the center or a True Bass 4.5, and it was made for ledge fishing on the Tennessee River. So that's what that is. And we're going to expand on that and kind of see where it goes. We're going to make a 3/4 ounce version as well for some shallower applications.
You don't have one handy, do you?
I could run out to the garage and grab one really fast.
What do you think,
Matthew? If you want me to.
I don't know how far it is, dude.
I mean, you give me 30 seconds.
Okay, I want to see what it looks like.
Okay, hang on.
Because I'm Googling it here, because I had and I think I got it in Alabama. I got like a 3/8 ounce spinnerbait, and it looks, I mean, just picture a regular spinnerbait, Mark, but instead of one hook coming down from the skirt, just like a regular spinnerbait hook, there's three wires that shoot out, and then you put three hooks on, and they're like a tripod with that. Then the baits are behind that thing, but this is different. That was less than, holy cow, it's just a giant wad of blades.
I know. I gotta come out of this. I just ran a mile. Here we go.
That was like 6 seconds.
Wow.
Small house.
Yeah, let's see what this thing looks like.
Okay, so this one has been thrown so much, and I got a stinger hook on it. Don't mind the grub tail. The grub tail is black because I've thrown it so much. But this is it. If you can see, it's got this. I even have an arm broke off. This one has caught so many fish. This one is actually one I used in the Costa series on Kentucky Lake 2 years ago, and I've still been throwing it, using it, catching it. But you kind of see that arm's broke off. Here is another one. This one's got a little Kitek kicker on the back. It's got eelgrass right there. See the X-wing with the little blades, right? And then we got the big blade on top. And that profile right there just looks like a big, amazing ball of shad. And when they eat it, I usually don't put a stinger hook on it. I put it on in the BFL because they were being weird. I usually just throw it like this and have a good size swim bait or something on the back. And they have it to those wires when they eat it. And it just looks like this when they're coming in.
Wow.
It's, you think, amazing. It's effective as just the regular five arm, four blade, multi-wire umbrella rig? Or is there a time when that's
It's more effective, and here's why. I'm going to say more effective when they're relating more to the bottom, because that head is, when you're reeling it, is almost crawling on the bottom. And with that, you're going to have the baits dragging the bottom versus that profile of a spinnerbait with blades crawling on the bottom. You know what I mean? So an Alabama rig, if you're throwing that, it's going to be better suited for a suspended presentation versus throwing it through timber or rocks on a ledge. Picture these coming through rocks on a ledge and just kind of dig, and it's rooting around, and it just keeps it so centered, right? It's been a secret for a long time, and I'm sure a lot of guys are like, God dang it, Sal's been giving away on Bass Talk Live.
I wonder if that's legal in bass. Bassmaster.
It's not. So this is illegal in the FLW Pro Circuit, which is why they were in the garage.
Okay.
I had to take them out. But on the now Tundra Series, Toyota Series, you can throw this. In the BFLs, you can throw this. Totally legal.
It only has one hook on it.
Yeah,
though, right?
But they've got also got teaser rules and arms and stuff. And I think that's one of those that you probably had to take to a tournament director, and they had to go, yeah. I don't know, I need to stare at this over a couple drinks tonight and give you an answer the next day. But I would imagine around docks, like I'm thinking around the docks at Grand, where we're making small roll casts, you know, with the Flash Mob Junior or something like that, would be a lot more effective.
Yeah, that thing's awesome. So where can you get it at?
They're going to be available in probably right around a month on TrueSwimBaits.com. And that's probably where we're going to have them for a little while. They'll be available also on Tackle Warehouse thereafter. That's the two places we're going to stock first with them. We always try to keep Perkins Outdoors stocked at Florence, Alabama, just because it's kind of where it was born. You know, that's where a lot of sales originally went out of. So we have a lot of locals that throw it there that we want to keep the original clientele base happy. You know, it's a great product. It catches smallies at the dams, especially when the current's rolling and it's a little dirty. They love some Frankenspin. So, but now it's going to be called the BA Spinner after Brent Anderson, but also could be known as a Badass Spinner. So, whatever.
I like it.
All right. That's cool. That is really, really good stuff there. I had not seen that. Had you,
no,
Matthew?
I was describing something else. I had seen one that I got that was like just a regular spinnerbait, and then instead of the one hook, there were three wires coming out of the bottom, and then you put your jig heads on that. I mean, there's all sorts of different variations.
I've seen those, right. Yeah, I've seen those. I mean, this thing is very unique, and there's a reason. Once you get your hands on one, there's a reason that it works so well. There's certain aspects of it that are really conducive to getting some bites. So you just have to get your hands on one and play with it and see it for yourself.
It looks giant. It looks like a musky spinner.
This is my hand. I mean, I have a big palm, and that's it right there.
Do you think those fish on the TVA eat way bigger baits than most people give them credit for? Like a normal 3 to 3.5 pounder. I mean,
yeah, I wish I could have sent you a picture to throw up. When I originally came out with the 7.5, the True Bass that year, we were catching so many smallmouth on them at the dam on the 4.5s. I said, speaking of guiding, I like to do something a little different once I get the clients catching fish. I pick up the 7.5 up there drifting in the current, smallies. Boom, 4 and 5 pounders, smallmouth, eating a 7.5-inch swim bait just all the way down their throat.
All right. Dude, you're a busy man. Very, very busy.
And what's funny is I feel like when I have downtime, and it's maybe the military, and because I hate sitting still. So if I'm sitting still, I don't like it. Speaking of busy, I don't know if you guys heard of the fallen officer that was here in Huntsville, Billy Clardy. I, and along with some more guides, Chris Jackson being one of them, he's also a police officer that's a guide here. We're having a benefit tournament for him around July 11th out of the state park on Lake Gunnersville. Going to try and invite a ton of police officers and have a big thing of it. And all the proceeds are going to Billy Clardy's family, and it's a $5,000 guaranteed prize. So looking for sponsors to help with that event. And it's going to be a great time, and try and draw just a big crowd to Lake Gunnersville and have a fellowship and good time fishing.
Nice.
All right, very cool. Anything else, Matthew?
Yeah, how often do you see other guys out on the water? I mean, you got Randy Howell, Chris Lane, the Lee brothers, and now they moved a little bit farther away. Yeah, Remitz is still around there. I think he's back up and moving around a little bit now. Justin Lucas. Like, do you see those guys on the water?
Yeah, I saw remnants the other day, and funny, I saw him. I was like, "What?" I thought I saw another rod, and I was like, "Who's with him?" And it's his son. His son is big enough to stand on the boat and go fishing with him now. So They had a father-son fishing trip the other day, and it was great. I was out fishing a little deeper behind him, and yeah, it's great. Jordan Lee was on the water the other day. Saw him buzzing around. It's really common. I think Bobby Lane has Chris Lane's son.
Mm-hmm.
Fishes a lot. I see that power pole boat just running everywhere. I'm like, God dang, man, he's got a hammer foot.
Wow. So, all right. Well, man,
I think
thank
we covered
you.
It all.
Yeah, a great show. I mean, so many tidbits of information that I had no idea. The deal with the Alabama rig with Paul Elias, that was very cool.
I told you when I booked it, you were like, well, yeah, I've heard of him, but I don't know much about it. I was like, trust me, we'll not run out of things to talk about. On YouTube, it is Alabama Bass Guide.
Yes, sir.
That's your
me.
Name on YouTube, and you can listen to your podcast there. You're also on like Spotify and stuff, too.
I'm trying to learn how to get on Spotify. Maybe I'll refer to you on that. I think I'm on iTunes as well and Podbean. Right.
So check his stuff out there. True Bass Swim Baits. I mean, I just Googled it here. He pops up on Tackle Warehouse, the website, all sorts of different stuff. And then follow Ryan on the tour coming up here to get back on track and cash a little money. He was like, you were like over $73,000-$74,000 last year, and then they bumped the entry fee up to like $6,000 here. So I mean, you got a little work to do.
If it wasn't for Theron Asbury, I guess I developed a relationship with him, met him at the cup while I was weighing in, and then he reached out to me, and I got linked up with Yozurian Hardcore going into this year. Without them, I don't know where I'd be sitting right now after a bomb after the first tournament. So I'm so grateful for Yozurian and those guys. And speaking of that, catching a ton of fish on the Yozuri Trap right now and Matt Crawl, that color is amazing. Go check out some of my Instagram posts. You'll see the bait is down their throat. So it's a good time. And if you want to get some product from True Bass, listening to the show, use the code NOW30, NOW30 for 30% off.
Look at that. He's even got the old podcast percent off thing down.
Yeah, we don't even have that.
No.
Yeah, I can make one for you guys. BTL25. Come on.
There, we don't even have that going on. We're on Spotify, but we don't have that going on.
No, that was good stuff, dude. I mean, you went into a bunch of stuff that I didn't even know.
Yeah, it's great stuff, man. Hey, I wish you nothing but the best for the remainder of the season here in 2020, and good luck to you, man.
Thanks so much, Mark. It's an honor to be on the show. Hope to be on again.
All right. No doubt, man. You're welcome anytime. All right. Take care.
Thanks.
All right. There you have it. Ryan Salzman. Wow. What some great stories.
Yeah.
I had no idea about the Elias stuff.
Yeah. No, neither did I.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's kind of, that reminded me of the guys who made the, you know, like Casey Ashley and stuff and the guys who would be like making the chatterbaits with the Davises hand putting them together. But there ain't many people who were throwing that thing before we knew about it with Elias. No. Remember, we had a whole year where you refused to even say the word Alabama rig.
Rigatoni.
A rigatoni, the chandelier. You did a whole show where Drew pretended to be an Alabama rig.
Yeah, and I interviewed the Alabama rig.
Remember, we had Elias on that whole like year and a half. Is it legal? Is it not? Yeah. You had the guys who had like jerkbait and crankbait sponsors going, no, it should be. You had the swim bait guys going, yes. The jig head people going, yes. You could throw it on the FLW tour, but you couldn't throw it on the Elite Series. And you could throw it on the Opens, but not. And
it's crazy.
That was a crazy time.
It was.
We need to go back and revisit that.
Pull out the tapes. Let's see what we can find. All right, tomorrow, the CEO of Bass, Mr. Bruce Aiken, going to be on live via Skype. If anybody has any questions, can't watch the show live and get the instant feedback, send them to me, mark@basszone.com. Then the Sunline Hotline on Wednesday, a jam-packed week once again, Matthew. Looking forward to tomorrow, though.
It'll be fun.
All right, that's it, everybody. We are out of here.